able to do that. And so I, so right off from the my ministerial hat put on, and I go there, I say, okay, let me give me a really cool teaching and training, a series, so I can make them all three just kind of really fit together. And I was, as I was reaching out to the Lord, he had something totally different. He had something totally different. What I didn't get to do what I wanted to do, so I figured maybe if I fast and prayed a little harder, then God will let me do what I wanted to do. And the more I fasted and prayed, the more I reached out for the Lord and asking him what he wanted to do. He has a word for us, and he made it very clear that he wants to speak with us, and he has been speaking with us, and he's been talking to us. And he said that as we're going through this time right now, as this church, as we're together right now, a couple of Sundays ago, we were talking about seeing with your spiritual eyes, and that's the first step. Now that 2020 is all right, I look back and God's amazing, because not only did he stop what he was doing with all eternity and with all the world's issues and with all the world's problems and everything, he stopped to slow down to give us, the church at Covington, the church right here at this moment, at this time, a word that he wants to put into our hands and put into our hearts. And we can't take that lightly. We can't take that lightly. We talked about a couple of Sundays ago about seeing through the spiritual eyes and seeing through our spirit. And for me and for many others, as I was seeing it, sometimes it helps if we close our eyes and we shut down our physical eyes so that we can see the spiritual eyes. But when we see with our spiritual eyes, every seat in here is occupied either by an angel or by a saint. But every seat here is occupied, and we are together. God is with us. We are not individuals. We are not a scattered flock. God has maintained us together for a very special purpose and a very special reason. Oh, if we can just see the vision that God has for us, when we see what God has for us, that's why I get so excited. If when I'm teaching the children or the youth or whatever, and just bringing out a Bible story, I can read it and I'm excited about it. But I'm ecstatic these last couple of weeks of just seeing what God has shown us, what he has done, the things he's gone through to give us what we need because of the vision that he has for us. We are not alone. He's got a vision. This is not just wishful thinking, a hopeful thought. This is from the Word of God. I can, as we approach him, it's the way the Word is. When we go up and we call upon the name of the Lord, he talks to us and he tells us things. I mean, the first time my hand was going so fast I couldn't even keep up with my thoughts, and I was going and going, and then I just started doing cliff notes, and I had to go back later to read it, kind of make it make sense. And the Lord brought an amazing truth that's far beyond I can ever even think of. Last Sunday, we talked about calling upon the name of the Lord. We talked about praying together as corporate. We talked about the family of Seth was the first family that differentiated God as being the creator and as being someone that you can call upon. And it tripped everybody else out in the world because they look back and they say, yeah, Seth, oh, those are the guys that call upon the Lord. And he answers. And he looked at it. And that's the way we are. God is doing something new to us. He's bringing something new. We're no longer playing church. We're no longer playing church. That's why we're here, because we don't worship a man. We worship a God. And God has not left us. He stay here. He's here. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, has not left us. He's here. That's why we worship the Holy Spirit of God. We come together and praise God the Father for what he did through God the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's who we worship. We can no longer play church and open the door and sit back and say, come and see. Come and see the love that we have for God. That's got to flip around. And we need to go out there and go and tell. We need to go and tell. There's people out here. We need to go and tell. It's not come and see church any longer. It's a go and tell. There's activities that are happening that we're going to get out into the neighborhoods so we can go and tell. We can be the light on the hill so that we can go and tell others. We need it. There's nursing homes and there's people in need all around here. And we need, and God is telling us that we need to be the go and tell church and not just to come and see. This is something different that God is doing. God is moving us to get into action. God is moving us to get into action. Now, I know before we can do anything, we need to have a vision. So the first thing he told us is put on your spiritual eyes. Look around. You're not alone. I am with you. I am there. I am moving. I am healing. I am comforting. God is with us. He has not left us. Open our spiritual eyes, and we get all the doubt and fear away. Then he says, now that you're opened up, call upon me. Call upon me. He said it really good earlier. We've been raised to be independent, but God says to call upon him. He first imparts, he asks us, please, call upon me. I'm here, I'm waiting. Later on, he commands us, and he says, you can't even be saved unless you call upon me. All those who call upon me shall be saved. Then it becomes a commandment, and then he comes up there and he says, you have not because you don't ask. God is a God that wants to have a relationship with us, to have a face with us. He wants us to go call upon him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 says, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing to what is to come. Therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we're home in the body, we are away from the Lord. But we live by faith, not by sight. And that's why we are confident, because we know, because we can see with our spiritual eyes. As we see the angels in our midst, as we see God's hands working in our life, you've been able to see God. I know he has. God has been illuminating the things that he's doing in your life. And you've been noticing, I've been noticing, we've been noticing how things have turned and shifted and positive and relationships are being healed. People have been calling you out of the blue that you've been reaching out to. Your sons and children are coming up to you and asking you questions about the Lord. There's healing going on. Things are happening within the church. God is with us. He's moving among us. He's doing things. And we need to see that. We need to recognize that. We can't just rack it up for coincidence. We can't just rack it up, well, that's by chance. Because when we call upon the Lord and he answers, we need to recognize that. We need to see it by our face, by our spiritual eyes. We know the spirit realm is real. It's not just a fantasy. It's real. God is moving among us. There are angels among us. There are things that God is waiting for us to do. There are people that are crying out to God, and they don't know how, what, when, or why, but God is moving, and he's tapping on your shoulder, and that's why you've been having that urge to go and call that person, to go and look up that house. That's why we need to get out there in the neighborhood to go and tell. That's the thing. It's an action. This third sermon is a call of action. We cannot hear God. We cannot been crying out to God. All of us have been crying out to God, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? We're in turmoil. Lord, what do we do? And he stopped and he said, okay, first of all, you need to see me. Put on your spiritual eyes. Second of all, call out to me and I will, the word says, and I will tell you the unfathomable secrets that you didn't even have an idea, a concept of what to do. God promised that he will give us the ideas of what to do. And then we need to get that jewel, that pressure, that precious word of God and do something with it. We can't just get it. Oh, this is really wonderful. This is blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for talking to me. I'm going to put it in the cupboard for later on because I got things to do. We cannot do that, church. We cannot do that, church. There is an enemy around us. There are people, not only in the spiritual realm, but even in the physical realm. There's people conniving and trying to do things to maybe like vultures, they can snag the church and try to figure out how. And there's things and plots and enemies and tactics and things that are happening. This is not the time to lay our weapons down and to relax. This is a time to get together and shake our sabers. We have the God of God that is able to control and own and do all things. He has decided to do it through you, through me, through us. And we're lifting up our hands and saying, we're going to do it. We've got to do it. We've asked God what to do. We've asked him how to do it. He's told us how to recognize him. He's taught us of how to move this forward. And that's when we're going to go out and do this. And I encourage you, church, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. God's got too many big problems. We're going to do it. We are the bride. I was talking a couple of weeks ago about the thousands that are yet to come. That's why we need to not only keep this place open, but we need to keep the love of God flowing. We need to keep the Spirit moving. We need to keep the salvation pouring out from the feet of Jesus. Why? And I mentioned because of the thousands that are yet to come, for their sake, for these families, for these kids who are being raised in families that don't talk about Jesus. For the young people that are running up in life trying to figure out life because they don't know anything except what other person might have said an incorrect thing about Jesus. We have adults that are moving around, marriages breaking up, things happening because they're not hearing the word of God. We have elderly people crying that are not able to go, that are in need because there's not the people of Jesus going out and being Jesus to them. That's going to change. That's where we are. That's what God wants to do with us. That's how God sees us. That's what we need to do. I was cutting the yard yesterday, and got one of those lawnmowers that you control it with the handles, and I got a little bit too close to the house, and I tried to turn. Well, when I'm cutting the yard, I talk with God a lot. And you know, I got these ear things on my head, so I don't even hardly hear the lawnmower. God and I are just talking away. And I said, Lord, I need an analogy for tomorrow. I need an analogy for tomorrow. I need a, please, Lord, give me an analogy tomorrow. And just then I got a little too close to that brick wall on the house, and I rubbed my finger, and it just scraped it all off, and I couldn't move it. I'm trying to turn it, and I've turned it. My finger stuck in the middle. I said, Lord, you could have just told me. God. And he did tell me. He says, yeah, when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. I said, yeah, I know that, man. I'm about to faint. But what greater love when we pray for one another. When one person over here lost their sister, lost their brother, lost their mother, lost their father, and when we can come over there and hold them and just say, it'll be okay. When one part of our body hurts, we all hurt. And we need to recognize that. We need to open our eyes and recognize that and see how we're moving. The only thing that's going to stop us is sin. The enemy can't stop us. He's gone. The name of Jesus, the power, the authority of Jesus, however you want to say it, we greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. That's not going to stop us. People are not going to stop us. Nobody can trick God into making any kind of damage to the church, but sin can. Sin can stop us. Sin can stop us from going to the feet of Jesus and praying with our heart open because he might see what we got. Sin can stop us. The sin of apathy will keep us from going out to this neighborhood and preaching the word of God. Ah, they can come. No, we must go out and go. The sin of laziness will stop us from going out and thinking of new ideas and things to do. It's the sin of pride that stops us from going to the feet of God and saying, Lord, I need you, Lord, I need you. I cannot do it without you. It's pride when we don't cry out to God that way. These little things can stop us, and we can't let it happen. The other day I was cooking at the house, and I didn't tell you this whole story, so kind of put your ears, babe. I was cooking at the house, and I was cooking some meat. Oh, man, I had the grill going. I had the griddle going real super hot, threw a little oil, and I put the meat in there, and I was cooking up a storm. And I noticed it was smoking a little, you know, just a little. Well, it was smoking a lot, but it started smoking, you know, like, I mean, it started smoking like crazy. The pan didn't know what it was doing. And so smoke starts to fill, and I'm cooking, and I see the smoke, and I know there's smoke, but it's not that bad. You know, it's not that bad. I can put up with it, you know. And I'm cooking. There's a lot of smoke, and I kind of, now so I can see the meat, but I'm good. So I keep going, and you know, sins like that. You know, sins like that, when we're going and we start getting into sin, it's just a little bit of sin. It's nothing bad. It's just a little bit. I mean, no lightning hit. I'm good. And so we continue to walk in sin, and then the sin starts to build up, and little by little builds up. And it's like we don't even realize it. By the time the room's all full of smoke, I didn't even realize it. And by the time our lives are full of sin and it builds up, we don't even realize it, because we said, it's not like I'm killing someone. It's not like I'm stealing. You know, I just don't feel like going. And the Lord tells you, not now, Lord. This, you know, after the movie. And the sin starts to build up. Well, I kept cooking and cooking. I said, it's not that bad. We got these little alarms. They make such racket. I couldn't believe this. It starts beeping and flashing and hollering. And then the next one, then three of them, they're singing together. And they're beeping, going on all this stuff. And alarms start going off. It's not that bad. I'm still cooking. I'd lower the flame a little bit. I'll do whatever I can. But I'm going to keep cooking. Even though all the alarms in my life were telling me that I've got to get rid of this sin, there's now become problems in our relationship with my wife. There's problems now in relationship with the job. There could be problems now in relationship with my family. Alarms will start coming up because of the sins in your life. And you still want to say that it's not bad, it's okay, I can deal with it. There's alarms coming up in your life. There's warning signs. If this is going on, you need to understand a little bit of sin breaks that relationship with God, and it keeps us from going to his feet, and it keeps us from going, Lord, I need you. And as the sin builds up, the alarms start going off, it's time to make a decision. Something has to be done. Well, thank God, even though I'm a little hard-headed, I'm married. My wife comes down from upstairs. She's been breathing all this good air, fresh air. She's been in her office working, breathing all the fresh air. She starts walking downstairs, and whoa! She can't even see me. She starts coughing. I knew I was in trouble. Ah, she's coming down. So she starts coming down, starts coughing and going. Now, she has a choice. She has a choice. She can either rag me, dog me, condemn me, gripe at me, tell me everything that she's told me already two times, lower the heat. She could have told me all kinds of stuff. Said, Mark, why are you doing this? Look at all this smoke. You could have lowered the heat. Why do you should know better? Why did you do this? And Mark, how come you can? And if she would do that, and if she continued to do that, we both die in the smoke because we can't breathe. All purpose, goodwill, and all that, she can be of, I mean, just the best intentions. But if that were to be done, we'd both die in this smoke. So luckily I have a wise wife. That's why I love her. She's so wonderful. First thing she did is went to the front door and opened it. I should have thought of that. She flips open some windows. All the air starts to clear out. You see, sometimes there's people that come into our lives where they see those signals and they see those alarms going off in your life, and they see the same. They see you having troubles, and they see that things are not going right. They might not know what it is, but they see you caring less. Now you don't go to church. Now you're not going in worship. Now you don't have the joy. Now you don't have that word. And they see these warning signs going off in your life. And thank God we have people in our life that love us so much that says, Mark, hey, what's going on with you? And they can rag me and judge me and dog me. Well, I'm not going to talk to him anymore. He don't come to church anymore with us. I'm not going to talk to him. All he is anger. And I'm not going to talk to him. We can judge him and judge him. And he's going to die in that smoke. Or we can do the wise thing and say, let me love on you. Something's going on. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love on you. I'm going to pray that God tells you what you need to do. I see you're battling with the decision. There's fear, there's mistrust, there's anger, there's all this stuff. It's all from the enemy. It wasn't from God. But you know what? I'm going to love on you and I'm going to pray for you that you do God's will in your life. That's like opening up the door, flipping up the window. Fresh air comes in. Now that we can breathe, then Blanca will sit me down and, Mark, you need to turn the heat off. Oh, yeah. We need to come. And then sin can be dealt with. You see, it's these types of things that can stop us as individuals, as a church. And when one part hurts, the whole body hurts. When one is in sin and is in rebellion, it hurts the whole body. We might not know what's going on, but we can tell something's going on, and we can rag him and dog him and judge him and kick him and push him and tell him and shine the light of Jesus, just stuff it down his face, or we can love on him, and we can pray for them, and we can bring them back, and that's what I choose to do, and that's what I encourage you, church. That's what we need to do. We need to lift each other up. We need to pray and bring each other up. These are things that God is telling us. I've had the privilege to share the message that we need to see through God's eyes, through spiritual eyes. We need to call upon the Lord Jesus, and now we need to do something. And as we hear ourselves do it, we need to move forward. We're not following a name outside of Jesus. We're not following a body outside the body of Jesus Christ. We're not following any man. We're following a God. And we are the bride of that God. And God loves us. And God holds us. And you know how much we protect our brides? Can you imagine how much God will be protected, is protecting his, and is just enveloping his bride? Because we got things to do. He loves us, and he's brought us together, and he's healed us. He is healing us. But in the meantime, we got people to see. We need to go and tell. There's people out there that at this moment, they're worse off than us because they don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to get this clean air. We put that sign back up over by the parking lot that says, you are about to leave your mission field. Let your light shine. The weather, something messed it up, tore it down, and the enemy thought it was going to go unnoticed. But we shined it up, brightened it up, put a new paint job on there, got a brand new sign, and we're sticking it here. We know this is our mission field, and we are going to go out and tell somebody. We are going to go out and talk to people. As you talk to your families, as you talk to your friends, as you talk to your neighbors, as you talk together just by yourself, just with your husband, with your wife, or with your family, or with the group from the church, we need to do stuff. We need to do things. And you ask me, okay, Mark, what do we do? Well, I'm glad you asked. I have no earthly idea. That's why I need you to join me when we call upon the Lord. God knows, only God knows. I can come up with thoughts and ideas, but they're mine and that ain't gonna work. God knows. And he wants to tell you. You've been given ideas in your workplace, and you've gotten that idea, and you've taken it and made a project out of it, might even got it promoted about it, or a raise. You know how to deal with ideas. Ask God to give you an idea. You call upon the Lord and ask Him, what is it that you should do? That's what I'm doing. I ask that you do it. And if I know my God, and if it's a group thing, He's going to tell every single person in that group the same thing. And then we can talk among each other. Take your thoughts and ideas to the leadership, to the elders, to the trustees, to me, to anybody. Take it to somebody and take it with them. Say, I've been thinking about this. What do you think? And don't be surprised when they say, you know, I had the same idea. Wow, we both had the same idea. Isn't that funny? And we walk away. No. You know what? God is doing something. Put on your spiritual eyes. See with your spirit. God is doing something. He's doing something with you individually. He's doing something with you. You've been wondering how to reach your son? Ask, call upon the Lord. You've been wondering how to bring that person with you to church? Ask God. He will give you the idea and then act on it. It's amazing when that happens, because I haven't heard of a bad idea from God yet. Every single one that comes from Him is amazing. And God is good, and He's with us. Now, as I close for today, again, I want to thank you for the opportunity. It's been a blessing to share in what God has poured out. But if you have never come to the feet of Jesus Christ, if you have never given your life to God and asked God to do it, there's no one to go to. If you've never gone to Him, there's no one to go say, Lord, please give me this, please give me that, and Lord, I need your help. Because the first thing he's going to want to know how your soul is doing, your eternal part of you, the part that lives on forever. He's going to want to make sure that's good first. If you've never given your life over to Christ Jesus, you can do that today, and we're going to pray together. The first thing is, and it's relatively simple, because God already did the hard part. He already died for your sins. And because of that, when you receive Jesus Christ, He will enter you the kingdom. Now that you are saved, now that your soul has been deposited with the Holy Spirit, now that your soul is taken care of, now that your eternal part of you that lives on forever is taking care of you, now He'll take the next step. Now, how can I help you? He wants to bless you. He wants to be there with you. He wants to guide you. He doesn't take away every ill and pain there is in life, but he takes some away, and the other ones He'll hold your hand and teach you through it. But He'll never leave you. He'll never leave you. He's there. He's here with the church. So we need to pray together. I want to ask the care pastors, the prayer people, the prayer partners, the pastors, preachers, whatever you call them. Can we stand up, please? There's two callings I got. And I'm not in it I'm not trying to make a calling to make a calling. I want to, first of all, offer you the opportunity to get to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never done that, please come to one of the pastors and ask them, how do you do that? If you need to know, and you would like help in prayer, and you need to know, is this real? Are you supposed to be here? What are you supposed to be doing? What is your part in this body? Let us pray with you. The word says, where there's two or more gathered together, He will be there. The King James Version says, where two of you bind anything on earth, it will be bound in heaven. Where two of you ask, it'll be answered. Well, let me give you the Georgia version of that, because that you is plural. It says, where there's two of y'all, He'll be there with you. Where two of y'all come together in agreement, he'll answer there. Where there's two of y'all, there's half of y'all up here. I ask anybody else if they would have come, take advantage and use this opportunity to call upon the Lord with somebody. I'm going to start praying. You guys, please find someone next to you or come up here. But let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, first of all, for offering salvation to the person who may not know for a fact, without a doubt, that if they were to die tonight, they'd be going to heaven. Dear Father, I thank you for your salvation, because you make it true and real, and you let us know. You give us your spirit as a deposit for things to come, Father, and I thank you for loving us so much.